We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Tuesday, and that means we welcome our friend Justin Brown to the studio, founder and CEO of Hill Vets. Justin, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. It's National Cookie Day.
That's a non sequitur that I wasn't expecting. Okay. Well, we had cookies last night for dessert, me and my son. So you were celebrating early. Yeah, we were ahead of the power curve. We were living on a European time.
Got it.
Because it was probably like 1 a.m. when we were eating.
I'm a little tired, a little jet lag.
Yeah, but. You are a world traveler traveling around the nation. You were in Arizona, actually, and we'll talk about that first. Not just because he's a fancy man that likes to do fancy things like climb up Camelback, that big mountain outside of Phoenix, but you were actually in Phoenix, Arizona, and most times that you go anyplace, it's related to the veteran community and something going on within the veteran community. This one in particular is one that I really liked hearing about it coming into fruition because I had talked to the man behind it months ago, and he talked about how they were working on it, and now it's a thing, and that is Boulder Crest Retreat West, essentially, out in Arizona. You went out for the grand opening. How was it?
You got it. It was fantastic. And in fact, the folks from the cast of Tombstone, the guys that reenact Tombstone in Tombstone, Arizona,
Kevin Costner and those guys. No,
they looked pretty good. Doc Holliday looked pretty good.
They probably look more like the Western folk from Tombstone than Kevin Costner
did.
Yeah,
no, they were good. I was waiting for that "I'm your Huckleberry" line. I didn't do it very good, but you know, it was incredible and just an amazing turnout. Hundreds of folks there on hand. They had some folks skydiving in for the grand opening of this 100 plus acre facility out there in Arizona, which is Boulder Crest Retreat, Arizona, and just very excited to see that program continue to grow and do great things for veterans. It has a 6-month waiting list right now because
wow.
of, you know, they only have the one facility, did have the one facility in Virginia operating. Now they have two. And so hopefully that helps with some of the backlog in terms of the programming that they're doing there, helping veterans.
Yeah, I got to visit their facility in Virginia. I just drove out there after work one day. They invited me out, and I got to take a walk around with Dusty Baxley. He's one of the guys running things out there, kind of Ken Falk, the founder's right-hand man, former Army Ranger, and he showed me around and told me what it was all about, and it is an absolutely wonderful place. And to know that there's now a second one out west, out in Arizona, I'm sure it's a little bit different than the beautiful spread at the foot of the Blue Ridge Mountains, but it's going to be an amazing place, I imagine, as well. So did you get a chance to see the facility out there? I mean, the one in Virginia has that kind of woodsy feel to it, the way they set it up. I imagine this one has more of a deserty feel to it, if that's the word.
You hit the nail on the head. So it's south of Tucson in outside of a small town called Sonoyta. And it's actually situated on some land, I guess, where some pretty notable Indians had some long drawn out wars. So the ground itself is pretty sacred to Indian warriors, and the facilities there, and they're already building and putting in a number of things to, you know, like you said, you've been to the Virginia facility, they've got cabins.
Yeah.
So they're working on some living space for some of the veterans there, but there is already a lot going on there, and it's a very ranch feel. You know, there were some people are going to give me a hard time for this, but some Longhorn cattle there, you know, they just had really big, I was thinking Texas. I thought they were only in Texas. Apparently there are some in Arizona too.
Oh, well, you learn something new every day. I'm from Connecticut. We have cows up there, but not many. So I don't know the difference now, but yeah, very cool that they're doing that.
But now you have a good excuse to get out to Arizona and just let me know when you're going again. I'll go with
out
you.
That warm. Yeah. I'm not climbing Camelback Mountain.
Go do Camelback, no, man. No. Come on.
Not unless you bring one of them flying squirrel suits that the people wear. That was my suggestion. You know,
it was.
You go mountain climbing, you better bring one of those wing suits so that if you get stuck, you just, whoo, like Rocky from Rocky and Bullwinkle. You just fly.
We'll get you a squirrel suit. I'll take the rope.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to try those squirrel suits. That's That's those people are crazy.
You just recommend it.
Yeah,
you
don't recommend it for other people. I don't want to do it. I just want other. I want to watch other people doing. Like, look at that idiot. Look at him flying off the mountain. look at him going into. Wow, that was a bad choice. All right. So, and speaking of which, this is just a tangential tie. I am on a big Western kick right now because I just finished the series Godless on Netflix last night.
I'm watching that too.
Oh, I watched the last episode last night. I believe that's all there's going to be is the 7 episodes of it. Doesn't make sense that they would do anything more of it. It is a fantastic show. And when you think about the fact that Jeff Daniels, who's the bad guy in the show, is the same person who played, was it Lloyd in Dumb and Dumber?
Right, oh my God.
That's just, it's unsettling that someone has the ability to pretend to be two different people like that. I don't particularly go for Hollywood awards, but give Jeff Daniels all the awards for his work in Godless. And give Justin Brown, the founder and CEO of Hillvets, awards for following what's going on Capitol Hill, because I think normally it's probably a difficult thing to do in this day and age, even more so. And we've got some very interesting hearings coming up on issues facing the veteran community, including the Senate Help hearing. And I believe the HELP is an acronym there. But tell us a little bit about that hearing, Justin.
Yeah, you bet. And Boulder Crest is kind of a perfect segue into this situation. But very interesting hearings on both the Senate HELP Committee, which is Health, Education, Labor, and then you have the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Labor, Health, Human Services, discussing the opioid epidemic. But what is interesting is that more and more you are starting to see on Capitol Hill committees that normally are not dealing with veterans issues addressing topic issues of concern that are just drastically affecting the veteran population. Opioid addiction, all the things that we know about VA and overprescription of opioids over a number of years and how that's really racked the veteran community across the nation, as well as just general mental health care breakdowns in the civilian sector. I mean, there is a dramatic challenge that we as a nation are facing in terms of a mental health care shortage and how we're treating mental health care. And then you compact that with the opioid epidemic that's just plaguing the nation. And so number of interesting hearings that are coming up. They're not specifically addressed towards veterans, but they probably over proportionately affect the veteran population. So we expect to hear about that in the weeks to come in the Senate.
Yeah, and there are only a few weeks to come before the end of this legislative year. Hard to believe, man. 2017 is almost over. We're like 3.5 weeks away from New Year's.
Go ahead.
No, you were saying something.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, probably like I think December 18th and the president can claim victory on draining the swamp because everybody leaves.
There you go. Everybody gets out of here. And that's what it was all about, you know? Yeah. Lawmakers also looking to settle on a budget, basically, and they have to do that not by the end of the year, but by the end of this week to avoid the possibility of a shutdown. Not to avoid a shutdown, but to avoid the possibility of a shutdown. Things need to be taken care of this week. So a lot of questions that people have about that. One, what's the likelihood that that gets settled this week? It seems like, well, when you look at the budget on a grand scheme and a large scale, hasn't been settled for a very, very, very long time and never really is. But what are we looking at now as far as avoiding a shutdown?
Yeah, this is the proverbial kicking the can down the road, right? It seems like every other week we're having this discussion, which is unfortunate. I mean, Congress does have a job. It's to pass a budget.
Yeah.
Just never seems to happen. I don't care which party it is. You know, what we have here is I'm sure you remember the president's tweets last week. He was coming to the Hill. In fact, we were discussing this. He was coming to the Hill. I was going to meet with the congressional leadership.
Old Chucky and Nancy up there. Chuck Schumer, who spoke at my college graduation, was not scheduled, but heard there were going to be cameras there, so he showed up and got on stage.
I was going to give you a hard time and say where must have been cameras. But, you know, President Trump obviously preempted these meetings with a tweet that was not viewed favorably. The Democrats pulled out of that meeting, and frankly, it's put the entire system into a difficult situation in that, you know, if they do want to pass a budget, it's looking like more and more that, or at least a temporary stopgap, that they're going to have to pull together the votes themselves, they being the Republicans, in terms of passing something to continue funding the government. Usually what ends up happening is there ends up being some form of a short top or short gap measure that will, again, kick the can down the road. So going to be very interesting to watch what happens. VA tends to be fortunate in these situations in that they do have advanced appropriations, meaning that we tend to fund VA's at least healthcare accounts up to 2 years in advance. So usually these temporary measures at least don't affect the VA community as much, but that's not true of all VA budgets. So things such as veterans benefits, the administration over at the VA, those types of offices tend to be affected by these budget, by these government closures.
Absolutely does. And, you know, not liking a tweet is one thing, and then not going to a meeting over something that could avoid a government shutdown. That was not a good look. That did not look very good. I'm sure there were some people who were like, yeah, good, you shouldn't be meeting with him. You got a job to do. You got to do it. That's how a lot of people viewed it, including myself. And listen, Chuck and I go way back to the Hofstra University graduation where New York Lieutenant Governor Hockley was supposed to be speaking, or Hockule, I think her name is, and Chuck showed up and jumped in front of her on stage and kind of hijacked the microphone. That stuff does happen, but you know they got to get it done. We don't want this shut down. We've already got sequestration in progress that's still going on, basically, right? Sequestration has never gone away. Government shutdown on top of that. That affects the veteran community. It affects the retirees who still work for the government. It affects the active duty military. It's a bad deal for everybody. Taking a look at our next item of interest as we talk with the CEO and founder of Hill Vets, Justin Brown, Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. They took a look at their VA healthcare overhaul idea, and apparently they passed their version of it, right?
That's correct. Senate Veterans Affairs approves a $3.4 billion federally funded VA healthcare overhaul last week, and the cost of the measure is $54 billion with the B over 5 years. Passed with a 13-1 vote, with one senator abstaining, and that was Senator Jerry Moran. He opposed the idea, voiced concerns that the measure didn't go far enough to open up community care programs to more veterans, leaving most of them stuck in VA-managed care. So an interesting dynamic is brewing in the Senate right now, and following those concerns, Senator Moran, as well as Senator McCain, introduced their own legislation. The cost would be pared down. There were some significant cost concerns regarding a caregivers program that would extend caregiver privileges to veterans of all eras. It added many billions of dollars to the price tag. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with both the McCain Moran proposal, the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, in terms of marking this up to the Senate floor, if you will, to be considered for final passage. The House has already passed their version, and for all of your listeners out there, you have to have two similar bills pass in both the House and the Senate. When those bills pass, they come to what is called conference, and conference is essentially where they hammer out the differences of consideration.
And decide which one they'd prefer, or which one, you know, you take this one, all right, we'll give you this, and then we'll take that, and those different.
You got it. And so what's going on here is you actually have an alternate Senate proposal now on the floor. So it's going to be interesting to see how those differences are considered, if at all, if the Senate Veterans Affairs bill that was marked up is the one that's considered, or if they do consider some of the if they consider the McCain-Moran bill, portions thereof, amend it. All of those things are big questions right now that are out there and will have to be dealt with in terms of passing some major VA reform.
McCain and Moran, as you mentioned, the senators from Arizona and Kansas, introducing legislation Monday about modernizing the VA health care system called the Veterans Community Care and Access Act of 2017. Give us the basics of that. If it goes through, if this ends up getting to the next level, what does it claim that it's going to do for as far as modernizing the service?
Yeah, so there are some components in there that would require an increased integration with privatized healthcare. Again, the big cost sticker item is that it takes away some of the items that were considered by the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, most particularly the items with regards to health VA caregivers, which reduces the bill's cost by billions and billions of dollars. The McCain-Moran bill also would require VA to set up a number of performance indicators in within VA regarding their services, mm-hmm. as to ideally drive better healthcare outcomes. Some opponents of the bill are concerned that those data points would be used to actually drive more healthcare into the private sector. Mm.
Yeah, then it will. Interesting. A lot of concerns going along with veterans' healthcare, how things are going to work. This discussion on the benefits of the VA versus the benefits of private healthcare. You know, we were talking to Congressman Steve Pierce of New Mexico last week, and he has some concerns, particularly in an area like where he lives or like where you were yesterday. I was going to say just this week, but it really was literally less than 24 hours ago. You were posting photos of you climbing mountains where people have to drive long distances to get there. Is it fair to treat them the same as people who live in my home state of Connecticut, where from any point in the state, you can be at the VA hospital within an hour, hour and a half or something like that, and you can probably be at one of the other state's hospitals almost as quickly or even more quickly, depending. There are a lot of questions. It's going to be interesting to see where that argument ends up, but it does seem that the veteran service organizations are pretty well aligned in what they think. The VFW, the Legion, AMVETS, IAVA, they all seem to be pretty keen on keeping the VA around and keeping it as the major provider of healthcare for veterans. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with it. Now we're speaking. Oh, go ahead.
I think you're hitting the nail on the head. There does seem to be some differences in terms of nuances with the Senate proposals.
Right.
You have the American Legion that came out, as well as AMVETS, supporting this new McCain-Moran proposal.
Mm-hmm.
I think because they think that this is kind of a leaner version of getting to changing the VA, if you will. Whereas the DAV and some of the other groups are supporting the SVAC proposal. IAVA is one of those as well. So there are some differences and nuances, but I think you're hitting the nail on the head in that, you know, they all support a strong VA. I think that the happy middle ground, and I think you're right when we talk about rural areas, is that, you know, there are not big box VA medical centers everywhere.
No.
Across the country, especially once you get into those western states like Arizona. But, you know, you do have a VA hospital in Tucson. You do have a VA hospital in Phoenix. And the challenge becomes, even if we get, you know, south to Sonoyta, where I was, and it's this, you know, town, is specialty care.
Right.
But that's also true in the private sector.
Yeah.
Right. So even if we privatized it and we said, okay, you know, you live in Sonoyta, Arizona, you don't have to go to Tucson. Well, if you need to see cardiologist, guess what? I'll bet you still have to go to Tucson.
Yeah, there could be that certainly is a factor there. It's really that the Great Plains and Southwest region where you're going to run into these distance issues. I think of a state like Montana, where someone could be hours and hours and hours away from any sort of medical care beyond just a physician who's in the town that they're in.
But even in those cases, you know, I mean, there's specialty care. They're still going to have to go to Helena. They're going to have to go to Bozeman. Yeah. They're going to have to go to Billings. But I think that the middle ground where we really need to do a better job is, primary care and those things where there is a doctor in town, you know, where there is somebody that's closer that makes it more convenient. But then we also have to do a very good job of providing continuity of care for these veterans so that when I do go and see my local doctor in Two Dot, Montana, it's actually where my grandmother is from. So, you know, most people don't even know it. And I'm willing to bet there's probably not actually a doctor in Two Dot. But if there is a doctor in Two Dot, if I go see that doctor, that my primary care records somehow upload, ideally electronically, directly to the VA so that when I do need to come in and see a cardiologist, that he has those records readily available. That's called continuity of care. So we need to really do a better job of providing continuity of care, particularly when we're outsourcing VA healthcare to the private sector.
Right. Well, we're speaking with the founder and CEO of Hill Vets, an organization working to make sure that veterans' voices are heard and that veterans are informed about what's going on Capitol Hill. Now, Justin, did I read this right when I saw a list of recent items for Hill Vets that you've gone vegan?
I did.
Yeah. Oh, you looked looked a little weak and sickly.
Well, that's me. That's me just getting back to DC 5 hours ago.
That's what it was.
Literally.
What? So was this a health choice? Was it animal rights choice? There are various reasons that people choose to go vegetarian and vegan. Why you? Why now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's a health and environmental choice.
Mm.
I've been vegetarian for numerous years now, probably, 7 years.
Right.
Pescatarian, technically.
So you eat fish?
I did. I did eat fish. I did eat dairy. But just the more and more I read about, plant-based diets and the fact that, there's pretty good literature in terms of the negative effects of both dairy as well as fish as well as meat. I've just decided to go all in and we'll see how it goes. I'm a pretty stubborn person once I get started on something. So my guess is, it'll be this way for a while, but, looking forward to it. It's a new change.
Yeah, better and, you than me.
I'll go ahead and head off all my, where are you going to get your protein questions?
Pills or something.
All protein starts with vegetables. So if you're getting protein from an animal, you're actually just secondarily intaking plant-based protein.
Well, and you're not like a power lifter or a martial artist where you don't need to be like huge ripped guy. Like that's not what you're doing. So
there's some huge ripped guys that are vegan.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'll take the in a fight I'll take the guy who's eating a lot of steaks. So the guy is eating nothing but plants most days at least. I do know actually some MMA fighters that I'm familiar with who are. Vegan. They won't go that far, but they will do their as you said, the pescatarian, the people who will eat fish and deal with dairy and things like that. Although a lot of them try to cut dairy out.
Our biggest, strongest animals are all vegan for what it's worth. So rhinos, elephants, gorillas.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose that is true. I mean, yeah, I never thought of it that way. Cows, bulls. You ever see what a bull does to a bullfighter when that bullfighter takes a wrong step? It's hilarious. I can watch videos of that all day long. But we've been speaking with Justin Brown, founder and CEO of Hill Vets. I've also been seeing on social media some posts about the Hill Vets fellowships, and you guys are still looking for people for the next group of fellows, I should say, not still looking for people. But we have about a minute left, so what can you tell people about those Hill Vets fellowships?
We have a couple openings for our Hill Vets House Fellowship. We are looking for the best and brightest veterans across the nation who want to continue serving their nation and government policy or politics. And check us out at hillvets.org. You come out to DC, we have housing available for our fellows. We've got a curriculum where we get you trained up on public policy, the budget, appropriations, all of those fun things. And it's nonpartisan. We place you in a congressional either a congressional or Senate office with both Democrats and Republicans. It's a great program, and thanks to all of those that support it, such as DAV and AmVets.
And of course, you can find out more about those and about what Hill Vets is doing and what they have to offer by visiting hillvets.org or finding them on social media where they are at Hill Vets.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.